different that helps us be able to deal with that and to be able to move beyond that. And so I hope today that you'll experience that as well. So we're going to wrap up our series called Love and Hate. Last week we talked about love. That was so appropriate for Valentine's Day. And hopefully you had a great Valentine's Day, that you were able to get your special one out and do something with them. And for those that don't have someone special, I hope you had a great time anyway, just being mad at all the people that do. So anyway, so that's a whole nother thing. So you single people, you are special. You need to know that. And God's got a plan and a purpose. And it may be single, it may be with someone else, but he's got a plan for you. And so don't give up. Don't get mad. Just hang in there. And we believe that God just does that for all of us. And he has something good for you. So don't get down on me. Don't send me any hate mail because I said that. All right, so here's the thing. So we're gonna get into this series, wrapping it up today. Today we're gonna focus on something a little bit different. Last week was all about love. It was about what does God love? And we found out that the thing that God loves is really, he loves to take broken, hurting people and restore them to the place that he has for them. To take them, people that are hurting, that have been through difficult times, that have been separated from him, and bring them to himself, restore that relationship, and then restore the other relationships and restore them to whole. And that's what he loves to do. That's where we spent most of our time last week. And so this week, we're just going to do the opposite. We're going to look at the things that God hates. And so before we get started, let me ask you a couple questions. How many of you hate Apple products? Anybody hate Apple products? Like, not like Apple bite Apple, but, you know, Apple electronics. Anybody just hate Apple? Because that we got like one hater over here. Okay, so how many of you love Apple products? Like, give me my iPhone, give me my iPad, give me, yeah, so yeah, sorry, you're just, you Android people, you're just weird. Anyway, so the whole thing is that we love our apples. We love to pull, you know, the Apple, all the cool stuff that comes with it. So one of the cool things about your Apple or your Android phone for this morning is you could be on YouVersion Live following along with us. If you're not familiar with that, don't know what that is, go look in your program. There's really easy instructions for you to be able to just follow along right on your smartphone or your tablet and keep up with us today. But we just want to invite you to do that. But then what about, let's see, how many of you hate Fords? I'm in that bunch. How many of you hate Chevrolet? How many of you just don't give a rip? Is that, oh, there you are, okay. Oh, that's where we were getting at. Or maybe you're all just like Dodge people or something, and that's, you know, so I don't know. But anyway, usually, gosh, I can't believe that. We are missing out. We're not being very good in our community because, you know, in a good old country county like Stanley, there ought to be a bunch of you Ford people and a bunch of you Chevy people in here. But anyway, so we need to do a better job of that. Well, so maybe you like some Kias or something. I don't know, whatever it is in here. But anyway, so maybe we just got a weird crowd. All right, so we all have those things we love and we hate, right? How many of you, you know, have you noticed the guys that wear skinny jeans? How many of you like guys in skinny jeans? Yeah, how many of you hate guys in skinny jeans? Yeah, I mean, there's something weird about that, and I mean, maybe that's because I ain't skinny and you ain't going to get me in a pair of them jeans, I don't know, but, you know, it's just kind of funny, you know, I'm like, if you want to wear tights, you know, go join the ballet or something, but anyway, so we love and we hate things, right? We love, you know, the things that we love and we hate the things that we hate. Why would we spend so much time on a series about love and hate? Why would we want to know the things that God loves, and why would we want to know the things that God hates? Why? It's the same reason we want to know that in any relationship. Because if we're in a relationship with somebody, we want to do way more of the things that they love and fewer of the things that they hate, right? That makes a lot of sense, right? So that's why we want to look at this and find out more about what God loves and what he hates. Because if we are going to have this relationship that we were created to have, and yes, every one of us in the room were created to have a relationship with God. It's not just for somebody else. It's not just for the preacher or the choir members or the band members or whatever. It's for every one of us. All of us were created for that. And if we're going to have that, then we want to know what he loves, and we should want to know what he hates, because we want to do more of the love and less of the things that he hates. And that's what we want to spend time with in these two messages. We found out what he loved. If you didn't catch that, it'll be on the on the website today. But find out what he loves, and then let's find out what he hates, so we can try to do a lot less of those things and have a better relationship with him. So what are some of the things that God loves, and what are those things that he hates? Today, as we look at the hate part, it's pretty simple. We can look and find that really easy in the scriptures. If you have your Bibles or your phone app, go to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. Here's what he says. This is in Proverbs. These are the things. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. This is what you all wanted to know today, right? This is the thing that this is the list that you came for. You just want to know what God hates, because you think if we can dodge these, we're good. But I think you're gonna find today we're gonna need to go a little deeper. But here's what six things that he hates, seven that are detestable: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Man, that's a pretty interesting list, isn't it? Did that list just start wearing a lot of faces in your life? Did you, as I was reading that, were you like assigning faces to it? Because that's what we like to do. We like to look at the list of the things that God hates, and we like to put other people's faces with them, don't we? But I just want to be honest with you. How many times, and maybe you've never even heard that scripture, maybe you've never even read it, but let me just challenge you. What if you read that and you put your face with every single one of those? Just think about that for a second. We don't like to do that. We don't like to put ourselves in that position. We want to put everybody else to that mark. But let me just think, what if we read that scripture and said, do I have haughty eyes? Do I have eyes that look at things that shouldn't? Do I have a tongue that tells things that aren't true and that I shouldn't tell? Do I bring up conflict within my community? You know how we do that lots of times? We do that with this thing called sanctified gossip. Pastor, I don't want to gossip, but I think you just really ought to pray for so-and-so because. And they go into this whole list of why and telling all their dirty laundry and airing it out there. Not so much that you really would pray for them, but they just want to tell somebody. So we got to be careful. Do we have sanctified gossip in our lives? Do we do these things? That's the list. And lots of times when we read that, and even in here, you kind of feel everybody kind of adjusted in their seat just a little bit, because we want to hear the list. We want to know what the things are. And we want to be able to put ourselves in a place that we don't do those things. We want to have that good relationship, do less of the things that he hates. And as long as we just don't do what he hates, we think we're going to be okay. But I think it's more than that. It's more challenging than that. The reason that we do that, we don't want to do something that a person hates. We want to do what they love. And the reason that it gets us in trouble is because when we do the things that they hate, it creates this loneliness that creates a distance between the person that we love, right? If we're in a relationship and we're doing something that a person hates, then it's going to create a distance, which creates a loneliness. And that's what happened. And so what we want to understand is that God hates the loneliness that we feel from the distance that we create. We get into ourselves, we find ourselves doing that a lot. We find ourselves creating distance and creating loneliness in our own lives because we create it from the things that are going on with us. We feel like we're stuck in relationships. And we create these distances and this loneliness within a relationship because we find ourselves doing things that don't work with the relationship. We find ourselves lonely, and we find ourselves distanced because now we're doing things for ourselves rather than the other person within the relationship. We've been doing things that we love and that love and are all about us, but we never bring the other person into the relationship. It's easy to do. It's easy to be selfish like that. We find ourselves creating space and creating loneliness because we look at the situations we're in. We feel like we're stuck in a dead-end job. We feel like we take two steps forward and one back, or one forward and two back, and we're just constantly going back and forth. And there's always this distance that's being created because we find ourselves not doing the things that we need to do. We create a void, and God hates that void that's created between us and Him. And when it's all said and done, it all comes back to us. It comes back to who we are and the things that we do. That loneliness is created by us not doing what God has called us to do, the things that He's told us that we should do, the things that we do that we know we shouldn't do, that He's told us to not do. But here's the thing. How do we create that distance? Where does it come from? I think there's a lot of ways that it can come. I think there's a lot of ways we create distance within our relationship with God. And then we feel this loneliness that's there. Here's the first way. I'm just going to give you a couple today, and we're going to spend time on it. But the first way that we create that distance is that our sin distances us from God. Our sin distances us from God. That's one of those things where that's a word, that old three-letter word that we just do not like to say in church. We don't like to say sin very much. And we're going to talk about what we do with that word, but here's the reality. Sin distances us that. But here's what we need to, this is foundational. Romans 3:23 says this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Who's all? How many is all? It's all, right? That means that the guys that stood up on stage want to go and sing to you, they sin. That means the people that greeted you out front, that means that they sin. You know what? Even Pastor Eddie back there sins. I didn't believe it. I'm just telling you. I thought that was, if there was one person on earth that didn't sin, it was Pastor Eddie. And then I talked to his wife, and I found out he does sin. Okay? But it was a hard sell because I just didn't really believe it. But even Pastor Eddie sins. We all do. Right? We all fall short. And we need to understand that there's something about that. Every single one of us do. But here's the deal. God hates the loneliness that our sin creates because it creates a distance between us and Him. And He hates that. And so we need to be able to look at this and understand that loneliness and that space that's created between us is something that God hates, and that we need to do everything that we can to do something about it. That means we need to figure out what it is that He hates, and we need to do everything that we can to avoid it. So if we know that sin creates that distance, then guess what? We need to try to sin less. We're all going to do it. We're all going to fall short. We're all going to do those things that go against God's standard that He set for us. But the reality is that as a believer in Christ, that we're to do everything we can in our power to not sin, but then not quit with what we can do, but to rely on God's power to get us through it and to help us to not fall into those traps. God hated that loneliness that sin creates and distances from Him so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross to pay the price for it, so that you and I could be drawn to Him, so that distance could be taken care of. He did the greatest thing that could be done to allow us to have that relationship with Him. The book of John, chapter 3, verse 17 says this. We know what 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world," right? That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would have eternal life, would not perish, right? We know that's it. That's kind of the version according to Ron. I dodged it around a little bit. But the reality is, verse 17 tells us why. "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn it." So He didn't send His Son to condemn the world. He sent His Son to save the world. He hated sin so much in the distance that it created that he sent his son, his one and only, to die on the cross to pay the price for it so that distance could be lessened and we could have that relationship with him. It's our sin that creates that distance. And that distance creates a loneliness that so many people deal with. I get that so much in my office with people that come or call or email or whatever it may be. It's a loneliness, a distance that's been created. And guess where that distance and that that's created comes from? It comes from sin. Whatever we want to call it, whatever we want to dress it up as, it comes down to that. It reminds me, as we think about this, I don't know, anybody have acorns in their yard? Anybody? Yeah, a few of you, but we all know what an acorn looks like, right? So we've seen acorns. Well, in my yard, there is a gazillion of them. They're just all over the place. And it's kind of interesting, if you go out in my yard barefooted and you walk across that, you're going to step on acorns. You ever stepped on like a solid acorn? Like it hurts, right? But then it's kind of interesting, sometimes you step on an acorn and it just crushes right under your feet. Well, what's the difference? Well, one of them has rotted and decayed inside, and it crushes very easily. I heard the other day why that happens. That when the acorn is very small, just a bud, that there's an acorn weevil that will come along and drop an egg there to lay the egg on that. And then as the acorn grows, it grows around that egg. And so this little bug inside of it will eat the acorn from the inside. And so everything, when you open it up and crack it, it's all rotted and decayed inside. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me so much of us. That so often we look good on the outside. Some of us better than others. But anyway, we look good on the outside. But then we're rotten and stinking and decaying on the inside. The outside is so great. Everything's good out here. And we work so hard to keep all this. We paint the barn and all that stuff. You ladies do. And make it look good and all that. We want to wear the right clothes. We want the outside to look good, right? But sometimes we do so much for the outside, but yet the inside is rotten to the core. I've been there. I used to manage health clubs. I used to run them. And it was all about trying to, cosmetically look the best, to feel the best and all those things. And so everybody's working on the outside, but man, you would meet some of the most rotten people. And I was one of those rotten people on the inside. Until Christ came into my life and revealed to me who he was and why I needed a relationship with him. It wasn't just so I could feel good. It wasn't just so I could look better. It wasn't any of that. It was so that I could be restored to the one who created me and loved me enough to give his son for me. And that's what this is about. It's about having that kind of relationship with the one who loves you so much. And we've got to deal with what's on the inside if we're ever going to be all that he wants us to be. Jesus talked about the Pharisees, and he said, you guys are like whitewashed tombs. You look so good on the inside, but on the inside, you're just dry, dusty, rotten bones. And we got to make sure that that's not us. That if our shell ever cracks, that there's life that comes out, not death and decay. And that comes from having this relationship with God. Here's what James 15 says, that then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So it opens it up that when we have a desire, you need to know that our desires go contrary to everything that God is. That they go in the opposite direction. We're not wired in the sense of who we are since the fall of man, since sin entered the world. We are totally wired now to go the other direction. For everything that comes, for it to be opposite of who God is and what he wants for us. But the reality is that if we allow our desires to be conceived, they will give birth to sin. And then sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. When we leave ourselves the way we are, let me just tell you that death is going to come. Now you say, well, Ron, we're all going to die. Yeah, but here's the thing. Some of us are going to die for eternity. And some of us are going to die a physical death, and then we're going to live on in eternity. See, the moment you accept Christ, you live out, you begin living out your eternal life with Him. You don't have to wait till you take your last breath. You just keep on kicking it. And I got to be honest with you. You worried about what the outside looks like now? When you get to heaven, man, it's going to be so glorious because you're going to be in His presence. It don't matter, you know, what you're going to look like. If I'm a fat angel, hey, I'm okay with that. I hope He gives me a little skinnier body, you know what I mean? I like to have the one I had when I was 20, but whatever He does, it don't matter because I ain't going to be worried about that. I'm going to be worried, or I'm not going to be worried about anything, but I'm going to be looking for Him, and I'm going to be paying attention to Him. So we don't need to worry about it. But here, if we leave ourselves to our own desires, man, you need to know that sin is coming from you letting you be you, and from me letting me be me. And the Bible says that gives birth to death, the death that separates us forever from Him. Our desire needs to be lined up with Him. James says that the death and decay comes. But we need to know that we don't have to be like that rotten acorn. We can be like the good one, the solid one. We don't need to understand. We need to let ourselves give in to the loneliness and the distance that's created from our sin. No, we can live out our lives following the standards that He set for us in the Scriptures. That doesn't mean you live some boring, stupid life. That doesn't mean you have, you know, that you just, you know, walk around in a robe like some monastery or something like that. Man, listen, you need to read the Bible. It's full of action and adventure, and it's all full of a life that is full of just being able to be all that you were created to be. Man, that's better than any. That's better than any Marvel movie. That's better than any, you know, Star Wars movie. It's got more action than a James Bond flick. I'm telling you. It's cool stuff because you're just living out who you're supposed to be. The second thing that creates that distance that God hates is our complacency. Our complacency distances us from God. Our complacency. See, we got sin that creates distance, but then this complacency also leads us there. Craig Rochelle, the pastor at Life Church, wrote a book called The Christian Atheist. And we say, Christian Atheist, how do you do that? Well, here's what a Christian Atheist is. It's based on the thought that you may believe in God. You may believe that there's God, but you live your life as if He doesn't exist. That you believe in Him, but you live as though there is no consequence, that there is nobody there that loves you and cares about you for all eternity. And so many of us, I think, in the church could be described as this Christian atheist. Yeah, God's there, and that means I got to go to church on Sunday, but you know what? I'm pretty good Monday through Saturday, so I can do whatever I want. And we've all lived that life. Some of us are still there. Some of us have hopefully moved on from it, but the reality is that we become complacent. We see in Proverbs chapter 1, that verse 32, that it says, "For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them." Man, let that sink. The waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. That's pretty harsh stuff, isn't it? I mean, that's not like beating around the bush. That's like, if you're complacent, you need to understand that you're a fool and it's going to destroy you. When we find ourselves being complacent, we are putting ourselves into a category that's eternally dangerous. So what happens? You know, we go day by day. We begin to live out our lives, and so how does this kind of this thought of complacency, how does it fit in? We have this, you know, what happens for a lot of us, we go to church and we have this moment, you know, we call it maybe a God moment, where, man, it just clicks. And all of a sudden, man, we are all about God. He is it. We're focused on Him. We're doing exactly what it is that He wants. God, I'm with You. I'm connected with You. I'm in Your Word. I'm feeling like we are, you know, we're one, God. I'm good. And we sometimes we find ourselves there. We're all focused in on Him. And then all of a sudden something distracts us. Football season comes along. You know, my team's, what was it, 15-0. And I'm, all things are good. And everything that we talk about is about our team. You know, our team is losing and not doing very well. And it's all about our team. We become just distracted by the things that are going on in life. Things happen, and all of a sudden, you know, I've been with God. I've been connected. All things are good. And then, you know, it's like, oh, I don't have time to watch this because I need to watch the DVR of my game. I need to catch up with the coach's show. I need to watch this. I need to watch that. And now all of a sudden, all of the time that we would normally spend on this connection with God is now we're connected with our team. Maybe we're connected with some other things, but we find ourselves, you know, God, I'll get back to you when the season's over. I'll be back. We've become distracted. Maybe we're like, God, man, I'm good with you, God. I'm connected. Everything's all good with you. And, man, I just, you know, Jesus, 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 you know. And then all of a sudden, the boss comes along and says, you know what? I've got a promotion for you. But I need you to do this project. And so now, all of a sudden, you know, all the time that would be spent on serving and being all the things that God wants you to be is spent on being all that the boss wants you to be. And time, you know, time that you would normally spend with your family becomes work time. And time that you would spend reading your scriptures becomes work time. And time that you would be at church becomes work time. And so all of a sudden it becomes this big focus on not on the relationship and the connection you have with God, but it's all about what you got to do to just keep a job. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some jobs that you just got to work on Sunday. If that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do. So don't hear me bashing anybody that works on Sunday. Because that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do. I'm talking about when you allow your job to become your God. And when you allow your job to become more important to you than your relationship with Him. And more important than His word or anything else that He would have for you. You can work on Sunday and still love Jesus, okay? So don't hear me bashing that. Sometimes we find ourselves all about God and then we allow things to come into practice. Or come into play that take us away. What about Johnny's soccer practice? Or what about Sally's ballet practice? Or what about any of those things that we allow to get into the way? I know I'm preaching and somebody ain't liking it because, you know, travel ball's getting ready to come up, okay? I get it. But the reality is when those things, you know, we begin to take the place of the relationship that we've been desiring and the one that God's been desiring with us. Now we've created some complacency where now we allow things to slip in because we're not focused on God and we're sitting back waiting on Him to do everything for us. And this complacency sets in and now we've created a distance between us where loneliness sets in, and it's because we just allowed that time and that space to come in because we're just complacent and not pursuing Him and the relationship He wants. Our complacency distances us from God. We allow that to happen. The distance breeds the loneliness, and now we find ourselves lost, and that's the place that sin begins to creep in, because we've just put everything on the back burner when it comes to God rather than pursuing Him and seeking out what He has for us. And we've got to be able to not allow that to happen. The problem is that we allow this breeding of complacency to take place, and then all of a sudden, things that once we looked at and said, man, I'll never be part of that. I'll never let that into my life. All of a sudden, we find ourselves right dead in the middle of it. We find ourselves stuck onto it. And here's what happens. We get complacent. We've now stopped spending time with Him. We've stopped reading our Bibles. We've stopped, you know, even we're not even listening to Christian music. We're not allowing God to have any kind of movement, and we've become complacent. And so when sin comes in, stuff we looked at and said, hey, I'll never do it. You know what? We say, you know, it don't look so bad after all. I think I'll draw it in a little closer. Now we don't begin to pursue Him, and we allow this complacency to grow, and this distance gets bigger, and the loneliness gets bigger, so we pull it in a little tighter so we don't feel so lonely. And we got our sin here, and it's starting to look really good now. And I think I'll pull you in a little bit closer. And now complacency is growing, the distance is getting bigger, the loneliness is getting there. So now we just pull it in a little bit closer. And now we got it, and man, we just got our sin. And this sin that we had said, I'll never allow into my life, man, we've jumped up and we've got it solid, and we ain't letting go. Because now complacency has distanced us so far from God that we don't even know what's supposed to look good and what's not supposed to look good. And the things that once were so far out of our picture of where we'd be are right there with us. And listen, you need to know you have an enemy who is prowling around waiting for you to grab on and hold tight to your sin. And he is going to do everything he can to make sure that you jump on with both arms and both legs and you hold on tight to it. We can cartoon the devil so much, and we can make fun of him, and we can pretend like he's this little bitty, little red, red-suited, pointy-eared, pitchfork kind of guy. But listen, the Bible is very clear that he is walking around roaring, looking for who he will devour. And we've let him in, and so now this complacency has created this distance, and it's created this loneliness. And what is the truth that we know from today? That God hates the loneliness that distances us from him. So what do we do with those things that are there? What do we do with the things that we've gripped on so tight? Because we know that if we're holding on solid and we're holding on tight, that, man, that's just not cool, right? We've learned enough. We got enough churchese in us that we begin to soften those things. And here's what we do. We take our sin and we give it cute little names. We make it really cute so we can hold on and not look so bad with it, right? Here's what happens. Man, Ron, I really messed up last night. You really messed up. Man, can I just tell you didn't really mess up? Here's what you did. You sat in front of your computer and you looked at porn for 3 hours. You didn't mess up. You sinned. You looked at something that you shouldn't have looked at. You didn't mess up. You mess up is when you spill your milk. Mess up is when, you get a marker, go off the paper and you get it on your desk. That's a mess up, right? No, when we sin, we need to understand that it's sin. We got to quit calling it cute little names. We just need to know it's sin. Ron, I got to tell you, I'm struggling with some anxiety right now. Now, don't get me wrong. There's anxiety and there's depression. Now, I think those are two different things. But here's you need to know that anxiety is something that I've struggled with quite a bit. But here's what often anxiety really is. We call it anxiety. God calls it distrust. It's not that we have anxiety. It's that we didn't trust God. Let's quit calling it that, and let's call it what it really is. We just didn't trust God to get us through that situation. Now, don't hear me wrong. Don't be yelling at me about, no, my doctor said. There are cases. I get it. But I believe that most of it in the church, especially those who call themselves followers of Christ, we need to just understand that sometimes we just didn't have enough trust in God to get us through where we are, and we've put it all off on something else rather than just taking it ourselves and knowing that we need to know him better so that we can trust him better. We need to be honest about it. Oh, come on, Ron. It was just a little flirting. Oh, okay. You know what that is? If you're married, if you've thought it, you've done it. It's adultery. Let's just call it what it is. If you've got a relationship with somebody that you're not married to that is outside of the bounds of that, you need to understand that's just not flirting. You've gone there. Jesus was very clear. So let me just be straight up. This isn't about bashing you for the things in your life. It's not about bashing me for the things in our lives. This is about understanding that if we want to have a relationship with God, He is there. He is ready for us. He has done everything that He can to have that relationship with us. He gave His Son on a cross to pay the price for us. He raised Him from the dead after 3 days so that not only we could be forgiven of our sin, but know that when we die, we don't have to die. We can live forever with Him. See, this isn't about beating you up. This is about picking you up. This is about us knowing that there is a God who loves us so much that He has a distinct and a great distaste and hate for us being separated from Him. So listen, we can call it all that we want in the church. And we can be cute and I can give you really soft messages and I can make you feel so good for coming to church today. But if you don't feel good knowing that your sins could be forgiven and paid for forever, and that you can be restored and not have to go through the crap that we go through most of our lives. Pastor, I bet you never said crap from the pulpit, did you? Did you say that? You didn't do that, did you? Sorry. It's okay. But you need to understand that if we're going to just keep going through the stuff that we go through, it's our fault. Because He's done everything that He can to give us the way out. Now, I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to me, man. This has been killing me all week. Because I think about the times I didn't trust Him. I think about the times that I let things slip in that just begin to take His place in my life. That I don't put Him in the place that He deserves. Listen, we all do it. But the reality is that everything's been done so that we don't have to live that life. Listen to this. Philippians 3:8 says, "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ." Listen, let's call garbage garbage. Let's just be real about it. That stuff that you know doesn't line up with the standard He gives us, it's garbage. And knowing Him and having a relationship with Him is really where we're meant to be. Have you ever felt distant from God? Have you ever felt like there was something there that just kept you from having that relationship with Him, that there was this loneliness that wasn't there from the one that you hear about, the one that you have been told about? Let me tell you that if you haven't ever felt it, you probably, either one, you're blind to yourself, or two, you just didn't recognize it, and you've been there so long that it just feels like that's natural. But let me tell you that you are not alone. You're not alone when we feel that way. Throughout the scriptures, there are plenty of people that we read about who felt that same way. David wrote in Psalm 10, he says, "Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" Listen, feeling lonely is something that we all are going to experience. But the reality is that we feel it because of sin, we feel it because of our complacency, but we don't have to stay there. That we can know that He loves us and that He cares about us and He wants that relationship with us. Jesus, hanging on the cross, said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But you know why Jesus felt lonely and abandoned? You know why He experienced that? It wasn't because of His sin. It was because of our sin. Because He took it upon Himself so that you and I didn't have to experience that. You see, that's why he felt it. It wasn't His. It was ours. So that we didn't have to. Here's the final truth for today. You need to understand this, that even when we feel distant from God, God is not distant from us. Even when you feel like God is so far away from you, listen, God's not far off. He is not distant from us. We may find ourselves creating the distance, but you need to understand and know that God is there. He is waiting on you. Romans 8:38 and 39, my favorite scriptures, and we've We've been talking a lot about these because we need to understand this. We need to get this. And God keeps bringing me back to it. But it says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Touchdown. Home run. Game over. There it is. That's what we're looking for. And in the distance and in the separation and in the loneliness, you need to know that nothing can separate you from Him. If you begin a relationship with Him, if you accept Him, the Bible says that nothing snatches us out of His hand. And we need to understand that with a relationship comes a living the best we can by the standard that He's set for us. It's not a license to go do whatever we want, but it's to draw us to Him so that He can do everything in our lives that He wants to do. Doesn't matter what you did last night. It will matter what you do this morning. It will matter what you do with Jesus Christ. It will matter if you begin that relationship with Him. He's the answer. If you go to the highest heights, is God there? What did it say? Not highest nor death, right? So the higher you go, He's there. What about the lowest? No, what about to the east? To the west? To Walmart? Yeah, even if the cashiers aren't there, He's there, I promise. All right? He's everywhere. It may just not look like it there, but He's there, I promise. Thank God He's there sometimes. But the reality is that no matter how distant we feel, we need to understand that God is there for us. If you don't have a relationship with Him, you need to know that He is there to have a relationship with you. That you are not too far from Him. Today you can understand that Jesus died on that cross, paid a price for your sin and for my sin, was taken off the cross, buried in a tomb, and on the third day God, with His power and His love, raised Him from the dead so that you and I could be forgiven of our sins and have everlasting life with Him, have an eternity in His presence. That whether we take our last breath here or He comes and takes us home, that we will be with Him forever. Man, that's amazing. And this should excite us so much in the church. It should be the thing that we go out of here and we talk about. If you didn't like my preaching, that's okay. You don't have to like it. Sometimes I don't either. But you better go out of here and understand that what God said, you need to like that. If you didn't like the music, hey, I'm really sorry. Not really, but if you didn't like it, listen, that's you. But the reality is you gotta like what God said because it's the truth. And the truth doesn't hinge on us believing it or not, liking it or not. It's still the truth. And so today you need to understand that you can know what God loves and you can know what God hates. And if we live our lives to put ourselves with everything that He loves, to do more of what He loves and less of what He hates, that our relationship with Him is going to thrive and it's going to flourish. Next week, we begin a brand new series that's going to look at famous last words. We're going to begin a ramp up to Easter, looking at some of the last things that Jesus said along the way that should motivate us and drive us to live our lives, that should bring a simplicity in a sorts to our relationship with Him. But you need to know today that you can walk out of here completely different. Maybe you've acknowledged Christ and you've accepted Him into your life, and there was a time where everything changed, but now you feel some loneliness, you feel some distance between you. You need to know that you can come, get the, call sin, get it out of your life, get the complacency out of your life, get serious about being who He wants you to be, and be drawn to Him and see Him work in your life. Maybe today you've never done that, but today you can make a decision to accept Christ, to allow Him to come in and forgive your sin and to allow you to be drawn to Him, that distance can go away and that loneliness can go away and you can have the relationship with Him you were meant to have all along. See, today I think we all have to make some kind of decision. We're one or the other. We can always be closer. So I want to challenge you today as I pray and as the band comes and plays, I want you to be able to have a moment to just be real with God. Not real with me, not real with your spouse or your neighbor or whatever, but just be real with God. If you need to come and pray, if you, you know, you ever wonder, why do people go up there and kneel? And listen, this isn't like some magical place, but this is a place that we reserve so that you can come and just do business with God, to get out of the ordinary and come just before him and just allow you and him to do work. It's not about what other people are watching and thinking about you. Listen, if they're worried about what you're up here for, they should be up here with you. But it's a time for you to just give it to him and just get up from there, leave it, and go back to your seat without having to carry that same junk back with you. Today, let's pray together and let's let him do what it is he wants to do. God, I thank you so much for your word, God, where you promise us that nothing can take us out of your hand, nothing can separate us from you. If we begin a relationship with you, God, even though the distance may grow because of our choices, God, you never move away from us. And so I thank you for that, God. And I pray that you'll bless us today as we begin to get serious about where we are with you. God, if we need to confess sin, God, if we need to confess complacency, God, and just deal with it and then allow you to work greatly in our lives. We pray that you'll do that this morning. God, I pray that you would just have your way in our lives, God, to just minister to us. And we pray all of that in Jesus' name. Amen.